So open your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight. We're going to talk about this subject of bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. It will not be as much practical teaching on soul winning, but it'll be more philosophical and just a lot of different passages. And I'm hoping maybe a light will go on this thing of getting people saved and getting people to church. Now, notice this. Here, look at this. First time I can ever do this. So there we go. All right. Here we go. You say, what's so special? Three apples. They're off the pastor's apple tree. Look at that. No, the pastor's vegetarian. And so here we are. We're in Psalm chapter number one. Excuse me. Psalm chapter number one. And we're just going to look at several passages. And I hope you'll maybe jot down a thing or two. And then we'll talk about this thing of fruit. Of fruit. You say, well, Pastor, what are you getting at? Well, just kind of use your Bible if you can and want to see this here. We're going to just tie it together. Here we go. Psalms chapter 1. Many of you have this memorized. But notice the first three verses. The very first psalm. And the theme of Psalms is a song in your heart. And notice, sometimes God is teaching us about the Christian life by comparison. He compares us to a building. He's the builder. He compares us to a sheep. He's the shepherd. He compares us to a tree. And he's the root. Or he's the vine. So He's teaching us something about the Christian life here. So notice in Psalm 1:1, he says, blessed, that word means happy, is the man that walketh not. Notice he starts with the negatives. He said, if you're going to be a happy or a blessed person, you're going to have to learn the N-O word, no. Amen. And that's found not, it's N-O-T, N-O-R. Notice, he says, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So what he's saying, just to start off quickly here, he's saying if we're going to be the tree we ought to be, we cannot walk with people that are giving us counsel or advice contrary to the Word of God. We cannot go places with them, walk with them, nor can we sit in the seat of the scornful. That word scornful means people that laugh at right. People who would laugh at church. People that would laugh at the Bible. People that would laugh at a teenager riding a bus to church. And when they get off the bus, the crowd's laughing and poking fun because he went to church. He's saying that kind of crowd is never going to help you. And we'll never be a happy person if we do not choose the right crowd. Whether we're adults or whether we're teenagers or we're children, our crowd will always determine our direction in life. Amen. And you'll find out, young people, that with this thing of peer pressure, all the people we wanted to cheer us on, all the people we did foolish things, we did the Tide challenge, the little Tide pod, we're eating something that goes in the dishwasher. Or we're from Louisiana and we're taking a toad frog and licking a toad frog so supposedly we get high. What in the world? And we're doing all these weird things so a group cheers us on. And then when you get married and walk the aisle, they're not even there. When you have major surgery, they're not there. And when you get baptized or head off to the mission field to do something for God, that crowd's not even there. So we spent a lifetime trying to please people who really could care less. So that's verse one. That's just free. And anyway, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You want to be happy? Choose the right crowd. Want to be happy? Meditate on God's word. Get God's word in your heart. Now here's the result, verse three. And he shall be like a tree. Verse 1 plus verse 2, draw the line, equals, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his, here's the key word, fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Boy, what a promise. Want to be successful? He said, there it is right there. Amen. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. The Midas touch, not just gold, but God's blessings. Amen. And so God compares us to a tree. Now with that in mind, let's flip over a little bit further to the book of John, if you will. The book of John, then we're going to tie all these things together. John chapter 15. Here we are, John 15. And so all throughout Scripture, this teaching, Christians are like a tree. Trees all produce some type of fruit. You say, well, we got a pine tree in our yard, and we don't eat pine cones. Not all fruit is edible. Every tree produces some type of fruit. It'll have leaves, then it'll flower, and it's some type of fruit. Maybe it's acorns, or whatever you want to say. Maybe it's pears. Our apple tree, for some reason, it only makes apples. It's just kind of stubborn. So here we go. John chapter 15, notice what Jesus says here. Now think of the context for a moment. So Jesus in John 14 is up in the upper room. It's the night before he's arrested. So he has a very serious talk with the disciples. He washes their feet. He tells them he's going to be crucified. He institutes the Lord's Supper. He says, do this in remembrance of me. He said, my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to be up there building heaven. Then verse 15, picture it. They've now left the upper room. He's walking to Gethsemane where he's going to pray and be betrayed. He's walking there. This is when this chapter, this is when he's saying this. Now think for a moment. He's left the house. Some of you have been to Israel and Jerusalem. They have a lot of vineyards like we have. So as Jesus is walking to Gethsemane, guess what he's passing? Vineyards. And he's pointing at the vineyards. It's a little, what do you call it? Teachable moment. Fellas, we're going to Gethsemane, but you see these grapes right here? Notice what Jesus says the night before he will be arrested. Chapter 15 of John, verse 1, I am the true vine. See these vines? He said, now think about it, fellas. I'm the vine. Amen. And my Father's the husbandman. Or he's the one that works the garden. The husbandman oversees it, makes sure it produces. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So Jesus is saying, see these vines? You cut off the branches if they don't have fruit. The reason they're here is to have fruit. That's the number one reason they plant these vineyards, to bear fruit. They're not here for shade. They're not here for postcards. They're not here just to decorate the yard. They're planted for fruit. You follow it? And so he keeps going here. And notice all these little lessons he says. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. We'll talk about that in a moment, that it may bring forth more fruit. Hear the word fruit, fruit. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5, the last phrase, for without me ye can do nothing. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. And it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So he just keeps saying, he's saying to fellas, the whole key. He said, I'm going to be arrested tonight. I'm going to be crucified tomorrow. But look at this fruit. That's what I want you to have. I want you to have fruit. Now think for a moment. The fruit of an apple tree is an apple. So the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. That's what God's saying. We're to reproduce what we are. Bear fruit. Now you say, okay, so how's all that kind of compare? Let's keep going a little further. And let's look over in Mark chapter number 4. just back to Mark chapter number 4 for a moment. Well, never mind. Yeah, let's look over to Proverbs chapter 11 just for a second. Okay, so what is the fruit that God desires? What is he really talking about here? Obviously, he's not talking about some type of a vegetable or some type of a sweet plant to eat. But in Proverbs chapter 11, there's three types of fruit God wants each of us to produce. Once we get saved, he expects something out of us. Salvation is not just a fire escape from hell. I'm not going to hell. Well, that's good. But now, what are we going to do after that? Notice what he says. Proverbs 11, you can quote it. But oh, we live in it. What's he say? 11:30. The fruit of the righteous, that's us, is a tree of life. Then notice the rest of the phrase. And he that winneth souls is wise. So the first fruit of a Christian is souls. God wants us to get other people saved. Start with family. Start with friends. Start with neighbors. Start with people that's on your heart. If you had a best friend in the whole world, who would that be? Are they saved yet? Have they heard how to get saved? I've often said it. I've seen bumper stickers on cars. Real friends don't let real friends drink and drive. We've all seen things like that. Here's a better one. Real Christians don't let real friends go to hell. Amen. Amen. God wants us to see people get saved. That's the fruit. Amen. That's the fruit. It ought to come natural. We've got avocado trees in our backyard. We've got two different apple trees in our backyard. I've listened to them. They don't make any noise. I don't hear them. They don't grunt, they don't groan, and pretty soon the apples start forming. It just comes natural. Amen. Our love for the Lord, it just ought to come natural out of our mouth. It ought not be we're whipped and beaten and shamed and embarrassed. Tell someone about Jesus. It just ought to come natural. Amen. The day I got married, I was buying my wife a Bible. She wanted to come down the aisle when she got married with a new Bible. And have that bouquet of marijuana, that bouquet of flowers on top of it. And so she was going to come down the aisle. I stepped in the elevator and I said, I'm getting married today. I'm in love with Verna. I'm telling a complete stranger this. I couldn't help but say something. I was just overflowing with the love I had for her. And I still do. So number one, fruit. Souls. Number two, here's the other one. Character. Souls is people that get saved. Character is what God does in our life, but it's all visible. I go in the backyard. Do we have any apples? Maybe we do. Maybe we don't. Maybe you just can't see them. No, if there's apples on the tree, you can see them. If there's the fruit of the Spirit in our life, you can see it. Fruit is always visible. It's visible. So notice what he says in Galatians. Many of you have it memorized. Some of you even have the ribbons and all this kind of stuff. But here it is, Galatians 5. With this in mind, it may take on a new meaning here. But Galatians 5, here's the fruit that the Holy Spirit in our life wants to produce. And I have to hurry here. So Galatians 5, and look down just quickly into verse number 22. Notice he uses that word, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now here's what people ought to see visible in our life. Love. And all these are unselfish. Joy. It's an emotion. It's a smile. Peace. That's a calm on your countenance during tough times. Your feathers are not always ruffled. Long suffering. That means you can suffer long with someone. Someone that makes you suffer. You can be patient. You can take a lot. Then he says, gentleness, goodness, faith. We could define all these. Meekness, that's power under control. Temperance, self-control. People can see those things. They know if we're controlling our words, controlling our looks, controlling our temper, controlling our spending, we're in control. So first fruit God wants is people being saved. Second fruit is godly character in us. Something people see. been working on one of our neighbors. I'm not going to say which one. We have a long street here. Just about the first time I met one of our neighbors, the police were coming. I thought they were getting in a fight with one of the other neighbors. There was some pretty harsh things said across the streets. I said, well, this doesn't look good. Wasn't interested in coming to church. Wasn't real excited about living on the same street as me. Been bringing things by. Been praying daily for their family. Been dropping flowers by. Always speaking when I see that person on our street. This past week, here's what he said. You're a good man.
Amen.
He wouldn't have said that 6 months ago. You're a good man. You know what God's doing? God's taking a battering ram and taking a hard heart and trying to break down that door. It's the fruit. You can't fake it. The fruit, it's God's Spirit that does that. Then the third one here, notice over here in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Well, I want to have fruit in my life. I want to have something that's visible. I want not just to be a tree, not just to be steady. I don't want to just have my roots down. I want to have something to show for my life. Well, here's what he wants. God wants souls. He wants godly character, something that's real in our life. It's not rules. It's a relationship. It's not just leaves. It's not just show. It's something that's real. And what does fruit do? Fruit satisfies others.
Amen.
The fruit is not just for the tree to grow. Yes, it'll make more trees. But this grows so someone can take it, get nourishment from it, eat it, get strength from it. And there ought to be people getting strength by being around us.
Amen.
And being nourished spiritually by being around us. That's the fruit.
Amen.
It's not just for us. And then we see in Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to have to really get going here. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, notice what he says here. This is a great verse. And it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Praise means bragging on God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. The third fruit is praise. It is verbally saying something out loud about how good God is. When we're bragging on God, and it's not just some facade saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord. No. It's specific. Look what God did for me. Isn't God good? That car swerved up. We could have been killed. God spared our life. God did that. God looks down and says, I like that. He likes it. When we're saying something that magnifies him, he likes it. You like it. Every woman that cooks a meal and the kids say, this is the best meal you've ever made. Really? I might just make it again. That husband gets the door for the wife and she goes, ooh, a gentleman, I like this. He may do it again. And he may not either. But okay, so that's the fruit that he desires. Now, notice over here, please, and Mark chapter 11. And I know we're looking at a few verses tonight, but Mark 11, Jesus is coming through town. And notice what happens here. This is interesting. Mark 11, and it says down in verse number 12. Here it is. Mark 11, 12. And on the morrow, or tomorrow, the next day, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. He was God, but living in a human body. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. Talk about poor. Jesus didn't have a refrigerator. He didn't have a house. Didn't have a storage unit of food. He ate day by day. He walked all this distance. He said, that's a fig tree. What if it has figs? He was hungry. That fig tree had one opportunity to feed Jesus. It says, when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto him, no man eat fruit on thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. The next day they walked by the fruit tree. Read the rest of the story. It is withered up by the roots and dead. Jesus said, you had one chance to bear fruit and you missed it. That's why you're here. You're a fig tree. You're supposed to have fruit. The thing just shriveled up. So what's God want? When he comes by our life, he really wants to see some fruit.
Amen.
Not just leaves.
Amen.
Not just how we're dressed.
Amen.
Not just we pray over meals at restaurants.
Amen.
Not just we don't cuss too much.
Amen.
We don't get drunk, beat up too many people. What he wants is visible fruit. Souls. Character. And our lips praising his name. Now, we live in the place where all this takes place. You go outside, you see on the hillsides, things are growing. Those vineyards are growing. So what an object lesson for all of us. You know, all these vineyard owners and these wineries, they really want grapes off those vines. They really do. They don't care how cute those little grapes are. When it's time to pick them, they're clipping them. It's all night long. They're crushing them. So what's that mean for us? Just give you this just by chance. The goal is not that the vine has a lot of leaves. You'll see oftentimes during a certain season, the workers, they'll clip those leaves. They don't just let them go. Look, that one's 84 feet long. That's a record, isn't it? They either cut them and then they tie them to those wires. Naturally, the leaves grow toward the earth. Naturally, our tendency grows toward the world. Naturally, we want to be like the world. We want to talk like the world, listen to the world's music, have the world's ideas and the world's talk and the world's television and the world's heroes. It's natural. And God said, let me pull you away from that.
Amen.
So some practical things here. So how does God produce this in our life? Number one, purging. Now the word purge always deals with water. In Louisiana, they catch these things. Some people call them ditch bugs. Some people call them crawdads. The proper name they like to be called is crawfish. And it's not a crayfish. They're like little lobsters. They're crustaceans. They're scavengers. They eat at the bottom of the river or the bayou. And a lot of times they'll swallow a lot of dirt and mud and take the nutrients out of that. So when you get crawfish, the first thing you do is put them in a pot of water. Clean water. And soon that clean water is muddy because they are spitting out all of that dirt. You call that purging. And then, since they've been good crawfish, you take them out of there and put them in a pot of boiling water. So they'll taste good. Anyway. But it's called purging. If you've ever passed the vineyards when they're not harvesting, there's always a group of people out there doing something. But many of them are out there with little squirt bottles. Say they must be some type of chemical. No. They're spraying water. You know what they're doing? Spraying off the bugs, pss, pss, pss. Spraying the worms off, spraying the dirt off of them, pss, purging. The next verse, Jesus says, you are clean through the word I've spoken unto you. If we're going to bear fruit, we're going to have to let God purge us. Spray a lot of water on us, a lot of water of the word. Cleanse our mind, cleanse our thoughts, cleanse our motives. Pastor, I got a dirty mouth. Get more clean water of God's word in your mind. Your lips will clean up.
Amen.
It'll clean up a dirty mind. It'll clean up dirty motives. It'll clean up all that stuff. Purging.
Amen.
We preach the word of God here, and God's word purges. It cleans us up. David says, cleanse me from my sin. The word of God's always compared to water. Amen. Number two, Then there's something called pruning. Pruning. I'm not a, what's the word, horticulturist. I'm not a plant person. Never have been. I'll call people to the house. We've got a couple that help me. Brother Jose Alvarez is expert at that. I'll say, Brother Jose, look at this apple tree. It's too big, Pastor. It's too big. I'll say, man, the leaves are growing. It's higher than the house. Look at this. He goes, we got to cut it back. I said, don't cut the tree. It looks good. It used to be so low. Now look at, he said, it's not about how big it is. Usually the littler God cuts us off to be, the more fruit he gets out of our life. When we're big in our own eyes,
right,
he doesn't get a whole lot of fruit. So pruning, what is that? Cutting. Sometimes it's cutting branches. Sometimes it's cutting what people call suckers. Branches or stems that suck the nutrients out of the plant but will never produce fruit. When we lived in the parsonage many years ago, we got these seeds, watermelon seeds. I said, we're going to raise watermelon. You know, this probably isn't the climate to raise watermelon. But I had one little patch of ground. We planted it somehow. It came up through that soil, and it started growing and growing, and watered it, fertilized it. And pretty soon, we saw the cutest little watermelons. I mean, they're like miniature ones. I said, something's growing. We've got watermelons. But one of them really started growing, and some of you have experienced this. One of them really took off. But some of them were just little and cute. One of them got bigger and bigger and bigger. Someone from the church came by. I said, come see the watermelon. Look at all these watermelons. Next thing I know, he's got like 10 of them in his hand. Look how cute. I said, you picked our watermelons? He said, they're suckers. They're never going to develop. They're going to take away from that real nice one. These aren't going to develop. They're cute. Sometimes what God does, he sees some of the cute things in our lives that we think are real cute that are never going to produce fruit.
Amen.
It's maybe things that are not evil, but there's just something that's not going to help us produce fruit. So he wants to cut that thing off. Sometimes it's a relationship. It's someone we've just got to have. And he goes, chop. What are you doing? It's not going to produce fruit.
Amen.
Purging, pruning. Next, abiding. That's in John 15. Abiding simply means this. He said, if you abide in me, you will have fruit. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Here's the vine. The branch comes off of the vine. Get this. You can never separate the vine from the branch at all, or the branch dies.
Right,
well, let's just have it an inch away. See how that, no, it has to be connected. So here's what he's saying. Nothing can come between you and me.
Amen.
That's not a friend. It's not a job. It's not an activity. It's not a lifestyle. It's not a habit. It's not. Nothing can come between you and him if you want this.
Amen.
Here's what that means too. The word abide also means to tabernacle with or live with. Okay? Let's find out. How many of you, when you were growing up at some time, you spent a lot of time at a friend's house, so much time that someone said, you might as well just move over there. You already live there. Anybody ever have someone say something like that, or a parent? You know what I'm talking about. It was like you didn't have that address, but it was really like you were there so much you lived there. So God says this. When you spend so much time with me and in my word that it's just kind of like you're always there, that's when this is going to start coming.
Amen.
Naturally. Naturally it's going to come. Pruning, purging. Quickly, look over, please, in Luke chapter 13 for a moment. You're doing great. You're hanging with it. And I know it's a lot of verses we've read tonight. One other book over, Luke 13, please. Luke 13. And then let's look down at verse number 8. Luke 13. And verse number 8, we're hurrying. Luke 13, 8, notice what he says here. And again, he gives a parable or a story. Skip down to verse 6, 13, 6 of Luke. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. That's kind of strange, isn't it? When's the last time you went by the vineyards and saw fig trees planted right in the middle of a vineyard? That's weird, huh? What's he saying? We as Christians, sometimes we don't quite fit in. We're bearing fruit amongst other plants. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. But verse 6, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found, verse 6, none. Verse 7, then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after thou shalt cut it down. Number 4 in your notes, how does God produce fruit in our life? Purging, pruning, abiding, next, digging. Sometimes God will take something that's uncomfortable and just loosen up the ground around our life. Digging. We had all these fruit trees planted in the backyard. No fruit. Avocado tree, it had been there 10 years. 10 years. No fruit. I said, Brother Jose, come tell me. Maybe there's something I'm doing wrong. Weeds are everywhere. Hadn't watered it. Hadn't fertilized it. But I prayed for it. I said, what do you think? Just kind of give me your little honest opinion. He goes, Pastor, the weeds. You got to water these like every other day. We have to dig this little thing so when you water it, the water stays. And it goes down. We got to chop up this soil. It's hard. We need fertilizer. We need to get some manure. I said, manure. And spread it around. We got to dig it. And dung it. Fertilize it. You know, within about 2 months, we started seeing those trees with flowers on them. Flowers always mean fruit is coming. And then we saw the first avocado we had ever seen. Well, not one, 12. And I could almost hear the trees saying, we've been waiting on this. They were there. We wanted to produce fruit, but you never dug us and you never dung us and you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You say, what do you mean, dung us? Sometimes the Lord allows something in life that you would say this, life stinks. Or did you hear this happened to me? It stinks. Sometimes God's fertilizing you. Want fruit, don't you? Want that person to get saved, right? Want people to look at your life and my life and say, I think that's probably how Jesus would have done it. The character. Listen to their words. Wow, they're always so encouraging. Next under this, new growth produces fruit. It's always that new growth that's coming out. The greatest soul winners are usually the new converts. You know why? They know where the sinners are. It's soul winning on Saturday. Hey, does anybody know anyone lost? Yes, all my friends. They're like a bird dog. They're pointing. So what can we do also? We can make the ground good. Look over, please, just for a moment. We got maybe 5 minutes. Mark chapter 4. And Jesus told this parable several times. We won't talk about the whole thing. We'll give kind of the thought. But notice in Mark chapter number 4. And looking down into verse 14. He tells the story of a guy sowing seed. He's called the sower, the sower. You know the story. He's got seed. He sows it four different places. It doesn't come up except in one place. It bears fruit. Notice just quickly, Mark 4, and he says in verse 14, the sower soweth the word, compares the seed to God's word. And these are they by the wayside. The word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, taketh the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they which are sown on stony ground, hard ground. When they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but have no root in themselves, and endure for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises. For the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns, verse 18. Such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, that's worries, and the deceitfulness of riches, you could call that debt, and the lusts of other things, desires, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now stop for a moment. We've all been there. We've all been in a church service where the word of God was preached or taught and the seed was going out. But have you ever been in a service where you should have been getting something? Your mind is on, they're going to tow my car off tomorrow. We're going to be evicted this week. I'm being laid off. It's these financial pressures worrying us, and we can't even think about the sermon because we're thinking about all these problems. You ever been there? It's like, boy, that was a great sermon. I have no idea what he even said. I was worrying the whole time. But notice what he says here. There was one of the grounds that did have fruit, verse 20. These are they which are sown on good ground. What is good ground? Such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, 60, some 100. In another place it says, and with an honest heart receive it. So in your notes here quickly, number 6. How do you make the ground good? And what is the ground? It's our heart. Amen. So every time the Word of God is taught, whether it's a RU class, an adult class, a teen service, a children's Sunday school, junior church, Wednesday night Bible study, family devotions, anytime the Word of God's going out, it's our responsibility to make sure our heart is good soil. Amen. Get this, the sower is good. It's the Holy Spirit in us sowing the seed. The seed, the Word of God, is good. Amen. The only difference in these four is the soil. Amen. So how do you keep the soil good? He says, number 6, honesty. Be honest with yourself when you hear the truth. Boy, he was right. God convicted me. I know I need to do that. Be honest. And then second, you want to receive it. Amen. It's not how much Bible we hear. It's how much Bible we do. Amen. Can you imagine our military going to the chow hall 3 times a day, Marines, Navy, Air Force, Army, and they just come in, but we never give them a weapon and they never go to war. But they ate 3 times a day. See, I was in Texas this week, and I got a little note. Someone picked me up from the airport, and one of their teenage kids wrote me a little note. By the way, it made me some zucchini bread. So I wouldn't get shaky when I was preaching. So my blood sugar, I didn't even know I had blood sugar problems. But so I wouldn't have blood sugar problems. And then they even put chocolate chips in the zucchini bread. You know, zucchini is good for you. And I guess the chocolate chips even it out, so it's not good. Anyway, but they put a note. Here's what that teenager said, 13 years old. That teenager said, I just want you to know, Pastor Ray, since we heard you were coming to speak at this conference, I've been praying for you every day. Wow. I cannot wait to see how God's going to use your sermon to change my life. Amen. You know what that kid was saying? My heart is prepared. Amen. So what do you do? Before you come to church, before you ever come to a service, Amen. Get alone for just a little bit. Close the bathroom door if you have to. Get in the car alone and say, God, I'm about to hear the Word of God. Some countries don't even have one. I'm going to get to hear it. Treat me like I'm the only one in the building. Speak to my heart. Show me what I need to change. Amen. That's the honest heart. Then I looked out there, and I saw someone I hadn't seen in a long time. They called him Mr. Soul Winner at his mega church in Indiana. His name's C.W. Fisk. He had pastored. He had been on church staffs. He averaged a convert every week. He led to Christ, walked the aisle, and baptized. He averaged a convert every week, baptized for about 40 years. I don't know a lot of people like that. He joined the church I was speaking at. He's now 85. He came in the service with a walker with the little tennis balls on it. He said, "Brother Ray, I pray for you every day by name." He was one of my professors in college. He said, "I ordered some of your New Testaments a while back." Mr. Soul Winner. He's 85 now. He said, "I'm taking two of my trainees through the New Testament, teaching them how to win souls." He's 85. He's training others. He's still trying to bear fruit. Amen. Scripture says, "And ye shall bear fruit in old age." That's what God's wanting from us. Let's make sure the soil is good. Let's make sure that we're hungering and thirsting for it, getting the water, letting God cut some suckers off of our life, spraying us down so the bugs get bugs. People that bug you, things that bug you. Oh, all right, we'll apply it that way. Let's have prayer. Father, thank you for the Bible.